I call the July 17th, 2018 regular board meeting of Glenwood Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, consent agenda items. A through G are routine. Recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
No.
I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved. Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Right, I think it's only through F. I don't see the G.
Okay. There's a G. It's approval of bills.
It's approval of bills.
It's G.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, do you need one? Yeah. No, I printed this out
separately. Wait, I have one here someplace.
There's that one outside. Okay.
Here you go.
Thanks.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, motion passed. All right, it's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. If anyone in the audience would like to speak, please try to limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Michael McCord. I'm reading this statement from my own behalf. I have the support of my co-chair of the DNC, Bart Schneider. I'm reading it though as a person, a citizen who happens to be on the VNC. My name is Michael LaPorte. I'm currently one of the co-chairs of the Village Nominating Committee of the Glencoe Caucus. Thank you for allowing me to address the board. To do so as someone who serves on and leads the VNC, I do so also in support of Bart Schneider, who is my co-chair. I address the board, however, as a citizen who happens to serve on the VNC and do not purport to speak for the VNC. The Village Nominating Committee of the Glencoe Caucus is empowered to do a limited number of things related to the identification, vetting, selection, nomination, and in some cases campaigning for the election of candidates for local office, including the Glencoe Library Board, the Glencoe Village Board of Trustees, Glencoe Village President, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners. These powers and duties are set forth in the caucus plan. They are limited. The caucus is made up of Glencoe citizens who may, at any time without restriction by the caucus plan, speak out on issues of local interest, campaign for political candidates other than the local Glencoe elections, and engage in a variety of other activities for local, national, and international concern. The caucus plan does not restrict the committee members in any way from doing this. When the member does any of these things, they do so as citizens and not as representatives of the Village Nominating Committee and not on behalf of the committee, whose powers and duties are limited. The Village Nominating Committee does not, as a body, engage in any of these activities, including taking official positions on any issue other than as set forth in the caucus plan. Thank you. One additional note, we are currently soliciting applications for vacancies in all of the aforementioned bodies besides the village president. Applications are now due. Contrary to some publications, we've extended the deadline. The deadline now for those positions is September 17th, 2018. At midnight, applications can be found on the caucus website. Thanks.
Thank you.
September 17th, thank you. All right.
Okay. And I probably should say that I did receive a couple of the applications for this interim position, and I will encourage them to reach out and apply.
Okay.
All right. So now on to the next, unless there's any other.
I'll just say I'm Ben Miller. I'm a resident of Glencoe, and I am actually a member of the VNC committee of the caucus. And so I'm just here to listen and learn, and to say nothing else other than that.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much. All righty. So financial report.
Carol's out with her mother, so she's not here today. So everything looks really in line with the past year, so really there's nothing glaring and nothing really to report at this time. A little lower on the beach, but that's to be expected for this early, the really rainy June we had. So we're hoping we get some more weather like last weekend and we start catching up on that. Anything to add, Bobby?
On the beach, no, we've had a lot of closures due to runoff water. We've had 6 or 7 very busy days that have made up a lot of the months. So we've been really lucky that we were able to take advantage of that. If we didn't have those, we would be looking a little, we wouldn't be so happy. So I think we're at 8 so far for the season with waters closed due to high bacteria. So we're in really good shape. And we would be confident thinking it's due to the high runoff, due to all the rain.
Mm-hmm. We had 0 last year.
0%.
We had 0 last year.
Uh-huh.
And it all depends on the rainfall and how much rain you get during the season and things like that. So it's all correlating directly with the things.
And it just hasn't been that warm.
Yeah.
It's
yes, correct.
Just the
rain
and it's just not so many warm, sunny days.
Correct.
Last
so hopefully, yes, exceptional.
Now, you have a quick question? Oh,
yes.
The question that I have. Do the wave conditions in the lake, is that also impacting the beach? I know people still can come to the beach, but that impacts more, I guess, sailing and entering the water.
So it all depends on the wave conditions. So we do close the water if we think the surf is not safe. I think we've done that once this year so far. It does create rip tides, rip currents. I think there was only one of the 8 days we closed because of that. That also stirs up the sand, which can cause 2 bacteria issues. But really what we're finding is the days after large rains and runoffs is what's led to higher bacteria from what we've seen. Again, anecdotally, we can't prove it, but that's what we've seen. Just a lot of rain.
And then the lake is higher than normal too this year.
Right. Again, I don't know if it affects the water quality.
Right, exactly. So it has nothing to do with the financials of that. So. Josh, did you have something?
You said you had 0 closings last year. You meant in June, not all season.
Due to
correct.
High bacteria.
The day we did the report, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
I think it was about 6 for the whole season last year.
And the recreation department's looking within line of what we expected, so.
Sure. All right, on to staff reports. I'm going to start with business.
Well, Carol's not here, so I'll just... fall program registrations begins the brochure went out the week of July, the first week of July, July 9th, 10th area time. So we have first come, first serve, which I know Stephanie is very aware of and has in the calendar, on Wednesday, August 1st, and then 9 non-residents will begin on August 6th. So we always see, we're already planning, and fall's a very busy time for us, so we're prepared, but we have... staff that come in that morning, all staff, all managers come in, all department heads to troubleshoot any problems, you know, if there's little glitches in the system, whatever. But we have over the years really, I guess, beefed up our capacity, so we don't anticipate any problems that day. So other than that, you know, really, we've been working on the 3-year master plan to present at a committee meeting to talk about for next year. We've been working on distinguished accreditation and our procurement loss control review, which could be set for all the department heads. So, and we're also working with Hay Group. Amanda Weddington was our consultant last time with Hay Group, and she's again doing it this year, so it's nice we have some continuity, and she's gonna be looking at certain job descriptions that we feel have changed over the last couple of years, to make sure they're being classified in the right salary ranges, and then look at overall how we're doing. So that's we're working with her now. That's all the questions. Or any questions?
Let's move on to rec and facilities.
Yeah, it's been a busy month with audits. Loss control review for rec happened last week. It went very well. We're still waiting on the final score, but no major concerns from Federma. We also had the same week the beach independent audit, which went really well, which we're still waiting for the report on too. And then we also had the beach Pederma loss control audit, which went extremely well. It got 99.5, which will actually even go up a little bit because we couldn't gain some of the scores because we hadn't had our actual audit yet. So we should exceed that So the beach is doing really well. Camp seems to be going pretty well. We're starting to plan for next year already. We're trying to get a lot of feedback and start thinking about how we can improve on what we did this summer. And then we're kind of gearing up for fall. Right. It's coming quick.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
We're over halfway through camp, so.
How many days?
I'm not going to say. 20.
So you were the third best public beach in the country, and we're aiming to be the second?
It's their best urban beach,
urban,
according to this publication.
Again,
it's basic.
Men's publication.
Men's journal.
Men's journal.
Sure.
I don't think everybody names
it. Sounds
professional. Do you have a subscription to that?
I don't. You know, I now that they've rated the Glencoe Beach number 3, I think I'm going to look into it.
Yeah.
The Men's Journal rated us at the third in the United States best urban beach. So they named 4, and we were one of the 4. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I would say that should make you feel.
Are we the only beach that isn't on the ocean?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all based on
Massachusetts, California.
Yeah.
Was it Florida, maybe? It was.
I'll forward out an article to you so I can read.
Oh, that.
So. It had to do with our cleanliness, our rentals that we have, so kayaks, paddleboards, sailboats, and I guess the natural, the beauty of the
moment.
So it is quite something. So that's great.
All right, park. Yes.
The new person that was hired.
Yeah.
Amanda. There wasn't Amanda here before.
Very
no,
different person.
Yeah, different. Yep. Yes, totally different. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually had a welcome lunch for Amanda, who is the supervisor, right? Early childhood supervisor, and then Karen, who's a new full-time teacher. Both excellent, very personable, come with a large amount of experience, so they're a welcome addition to the team. And at the same time, we got to see a lot of the new faces that are part-time. Came to the lunch, and also, and so all the full-time staff were there, and it was nice to see them. It's a very energetic, professional staff, so we're very proud of that.
Yeah, you have some gems
in
there.
Mm-hmm,
yes,
we do.
We're lucky.
And our two new receptionists at the front desk, they're just a breath of fresh air. They're greeting everybody and smiling and remembering names.
Such a difference.
And,
yeah, it really does.
It does.
There's a difference. I mean, I'm here almost, I've really noticed
whole cultural change. So Bobby and Jess is really, she's just doing a marvelous job. So
really good.
They're being loved by a good
team.
May
I ask, what is the difference between the supervisor and the manager?
Just the amount of responsibility.
Okay,
so the supervisor reports to Jess.
Okay.
So, but they're both have a director designee, so they can both be there. But ultimately, Jess directs the program for all of them, and we'd like to do that so that there's some kind of between the two programs. If we had separate managers, maybe it wouldn't be kind of the same program, and we want to make sure that the same feeling, the same curriculum, everything is between the daycare and our preschool, so they slot underneath each other. The biggest difference now is that before, the manager would take on more of the ELC role, and now it's kind of flipped because we have more kids in children's circles, so now Jess is taking on that role and the new person takes on the ELC. So, but they work very much hand in hand supporting each other.
Any other questions? All right, parks and maintenance.
Well, we're out in full force feeding and watering and mowing and all the fun stuff as for the 4th of July, so just a busy time of the year. We're working hard to plan for the take-up center shutdown here in August, so we have lots of stuff going on that week in this facility. We started parking lot construction at that time as well. Right now, our facility is being painted, so that's an ongoing project, as you know from the last board meeting. So it's been a very busy month, but it's felt good that it hasn't rained 4 out of 5 days of the week for the last 2 weeks, so that has helped us to actually get out and do some stuff in the parks and make the difference. So.
They're doing a lot of catch up, and what they're doing is they're going in with large crews and attacking one park and trying to make a difference instead of trying to send one or two and just making a little bit of difference. So
they're doing a lot of team projects, just hitting stuff with 5 or 6 people for 2 hours is 15-12 labor hours, and
make a big difference.
Makes a difference.
I remember when the young lady was here probably about a year ago asking about a backboard at Shelton Park, and I saw it here.
Yeah.
Right up that you're installing that. I guess you're manufacturing it now.
Yeah, so it's we've got the court being resurfaced because we heard from a number of residents that thought it was in tough shape. So the resurfacing process is going on, and the backboard has been ordered and it's being manufactured. And once it's resurfaced and it arrives early in August, we'll put it up and be good to go.
Yeah, that would be delightful to close the circle on that.
Yes, it will. I'll be happy to have met that need.
Yeah.
And to have resurfaced the court.
And I see the playground is close.
Oh, I mean, we've got playground equipment standing at Old Elm and Vernon. We're a little delayed in Vernon because of the rain. We've got part of the project, and I will jump into the construction, but we're doing air excavation around the roots of that oak tree, mm-hmm. and we have, because that way we don't actually cut the roots to connect the park drainage into the street. So they use compressed air and water and remove the dirt and suck it out, basically. And they have to wait until it dries out a little bit. So if you drive by there, you can see we should be finishing the sidewalks this week and then be wrapping up the tying into the drainage next week and hopefully be moving on to site restoration at the end of the week. So it's moving ahead. It looks great.
Really,
I have to say, this is the first contractor who I've ever worked with that started with the playground equipment instead of finishing with it. So when you drive by and all of a sudden there's a playground there, you feel much more excited about the project than going and looking at sidewalks and curbs for the first 3 or 4
minutes. Yeah.
And, you know, they can charge us for the playground once it's up. So that probably makes better sense for them because that's the long lead time.
Oh, that makes sense, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was very unusual.
So we were lucky by bundling all three together, we were able to really get a better price, and they ordered all the playground equipment at one time. Mm-hmm. So they have it. So we haven't waited for pieces or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which has been good.
Okay, any questions? Alrighty, marketing and communications.
One of the fun things we did for the 4th of July is we purchased a custom Snapchat filter, and it went from downtown all the way to the lakefront between Hazel and Park. The first time we did such a thing, it went from morning through evening, had our logo on it. And 127 people used it, which got us 4,600 views. So
ooh,
I think that's a little traffic that
put
our name
on it. That's the population of the whole community. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was excited to see that. That's something we'll have to try with more special events in the future.
Sure. Interesting.
Kind of creates a buzz, which is really
fun. Exactly.
And when people on Snapchat, the young people, that's the first thing they're doing. They're trying to see if it was tagged, so they love using it.
Yeah, we've been using a lot more of Instagram stories, a little bit more of Facebook Live and stuff like that, just to engage that younger crowd.
I think I'd follow you on Instagram.
Well, you should.
Snapchat
too.
Oh. And does everybody follow Instagram and Facebook?
No, I just went on Instagram because two of my friends sent me something from the pool and wanted to know what pool it was.
Oh,
can't.
Yeah. It took me a while because I didn't know what pool it was, so I couldn't respond to
the videos on the diving.
Yeah.
I knew it was like
different. Yeah, it was a couple different pools. It was tricky.
So people are interested
in
that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good. Okay, safety and wellness committee.
Well, we're safe. I always say that, but and I'm well, sort of. Every time I say that, actually, we're going through the Poderma loss control review, which is a tremendous amount of paperwork and getting that all together. But they're doing great. Like Bobby said, the beach did a phenomenal job. So did recreation, and so each department goes through that that whole process. So I'm confident that we'll do well in that review. Wellness, I believe there's a customer appreciation and a staff appreciation day coming up. Do you know the date up? Thursday. And we're giving out Gatorade and popsicles.
No, we're doing like a light breakfast.
Light breakfast, that's right. It was different.
For the staff.
Yeah, nice. So that's very nice.
Yeah.
Just to thank them, and you know,
sure.
So we try. So Aaron's on the customer service team, so we have a team that comes up with those creative ideas throughout the year. And today, like for example, we did a welcome lunch for the new teacher, and we held that down in the preschool wing, so that was nice for us.
Good.
Usually everybody comes to us, so we went down there, and that was really nice too. So, so we're doing really well, and we have had. Knock on wood, not a lot of major safety issues or a lot of accident reports coming through for camp, so they're all following the protocol.
Good.
The ones that are in here are those for staff, I assume?
Yes. I'm trying to see which one you mean. Which one you mean?
Number three, after incident review.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One employee injury and that rest were participants. 10 participants and one employee. Which is actually really good, considering all the high-risk activities we're doing this month.
You're saying the open claims, though? Is that in the four you're saying?
Review, the ones we review, number three. Yeah. Any other questions?
No? Okay. Then we will move on to the executive directory report.
Yes. Well, probably the biggest thing that happened yesterday is that IAPD previewed the... they haven't officially announced when the OSLAC grant was going to be able to put submissions, and so they haven't officially announced it, but IAPD said they're pretty sure it's going to be August 1st through October that we could submit. So we have been soliciting, or I guess soliciting, researching grant writers to help us with that process, because if you've already gone through that, it's quite the process. So we're working with Altamanu, and we think we have secured one of the best grant writers, I think, around. I've worked with her before, and she's kind of semi-retired, but she's interested in possible projects. So at one of our capital project meetings, we'll be presenting that. We're looking at, and we have to talk to the grant writer first, because there's a number of things they look for in those proposals, but the Old Green Bay Linear Park and Trail System would be very appealing for a grant, for OSLA grant. For them, because it has everything you can think of. It has connectivity for trails, which is important because it doesn't just serve Glencoe when you have that. It has an environmental plantings. It has possibly fitness equipment for adults. What other things are we clicking off? Oh,
pretty much
sports. Could be sports, because we'll do a little sports area, playground.
Community gathering place. I mean,
really. The entrance way. So we click off a lot of those sets. We think that'll be a very intriguing project. The other one possibly could be Lakefront Park.
Yeah.
They tend not to want to do anything that is rebuilding something. So like halfway house would be a rebuild. They kind of like to do something that's new, that we don't have in the community now. So we'll have to talk to the grant writer about that. So we are looking to submit something with that grant writer, and we'll work with Altamanu to get that done.
Yeah, I was wondering about their timing and how, I mean, they're aware of this. I mean, it's
we've been talking to them before they even, as soon as we found out it passed in the budget, IAPD. I know that Josh sent me, I get those same alerts, and so as soon as a couple months ago that was passed in the budget, they announced that in some meetings we went to. So we've been working with them already, so we've kind of laid the groundwork, because we knew once it would happen, it would be a short time frame. So we contacted the grant writer actually a couple months ago, but we haven't engaged her, so I'll sign the contract. It's within my spending limit to do that, so I think it's well worth it. So it's a matching grant, so we do have the funds to match whatever project we'll work on. So they haven't published the details of yet. If there's a certain, sometimes they put a limit, like you can only get $400,000 grants, and sometimes they don't, so we're waiting to see what that will be.
And it's a benefit to know that the funding is here to match it.
Yes.
So the project can...
That is, you have to, before you can apply, you have to know that you can match those. Those are matching.
Yes.
Okay. Other than that, you know, this team did a great job on the 4th of July again. You know, it was very seamless. They worked so hard from, you know, 6 a.m. until, you know, 11 p.m. We're always going and we're always lining up programs for the community. So the only snafu we had this year was the food trucks, and it's getting harder and harder to secure food trucks for events because it's becoming so popular and they want guarantees of how much they're going to make.
Right.
So in order for us to really have a lot of food trucks that we guarantee, we'd have to pay them $300 up front no matter what, and guarantee them like $1,200 to $1,800 that they would make, which is, I think, too much big of an investment for us to
take that risk.
So, but we have our concessionaire that works there. We'll just have to change the language of how we advertise that now that we know it's becoming a problem. It hasn't been a problem before this year, and all of a sudden this year, it's
really
now they're making more demands, you know, because people want them at different events, especially the 4th of July, where you know, we had someone that, we actually two food vendors that agreed to it, and they pulled out within a week before the event because they got another festival that they're there from 12 until, you know, whatever. And with ours, we know that people don't start coming in our park until like 6 or 7, and that, and not even a lot of people, they don't come in. They, the amount of people that flood into our park at 8 o'clock is unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. So we really have to adjust. Do we really need food or just, you know, so it seems to be that we're serving mostly non-residents when we do the food trucks. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't think it's worth it. I didn't authorize, because we could have hired this company and brought it. I didn't authorize it because I just couldn't see doing that with our to service
non-residents.
Do we have
ice cream trucks?
Yeah, we have ice cream trucks. Yep, ice cream trucks were out there. What else?
Coffee vender.
Coffee vender.
Tacos.
Yeah. Tacos. And we had that, you know, our concessionaire who did hot dogs and stuff like that. So just the basic, but the two food vendors ran out very fast. They weren't prepared for the crowd, even the small crowd we have. The ice cream truck did very well, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they sell out. They had two of them. Mm-hmm. So
I like to hear that. I used to have an ice cream truck.
This is
my job, yes. I just love it when they're busy, so that makes me very happy.
Yes. Yeah. So we
That's
use
the best thing I've learned all day.
That is awesome. I think I only this year only got one or two calls about why can't you have it on a barge instead of the beach, and can you have a different location. So I just reminded everybody that back when the barges were no longer available, we did exhaustive search to try to get a barge, and because the regulations changed from when we used to have a barge. Now you have to use a certain type of barge, and it has to be a certain distance away from the shoreline. And those are usually the construction barges, and they're very hard to get. You would have to pay probably for the full week, if not a month, to secure and guarantee a barge for the 4th of July. So again, that's a large expense. At the same time, I know Josh, someone asked Josh this, well, why don't you just move it to the golf course? The board talked to the village at that time, and the damage it would cause on the golf course would be very expensive. People going on there, it's not just a one day event, and trying to get people in and out. There's not enough parking, and it's kind of a narrow road, so logistically, it would be hard for people to get in and out. So at the time, the board said that's not going to work. Nor is taking a chance that a barge would pull out. We couldn't even find a barge to do it. So every year we ask the fireworks company, has anything changed in the ability to barge, and they always tell us no, unless you're willing to pay for a long-term lease on a barge. So we're going to be entering a contract pretty soon because our 3-year contract's over. So if the board wants to entertain the discussion of moving it or what we want to do, we would have to have that discussion very soon because the we'll do a request for a proposal, and then we'll line them up because, again, 4th of July is very popular. So they're working on the proposal now. So if the board wants to entertain any changes, which I guess your only options is?
The contract with who are you talking about?
The fireworks company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that we're prepared to change. I just want to share with the board that I had some conversations maybe a year ago with some residents who lived here as children, and said that at times the fireworks had been in the Turnbull Woods, where it's used to be a parking lot, I guess, for Vinia. It's now kind of a meadow that's overgrown with buckthorn. But apparently, that's where people used to put their blankets down and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, that's not village or park district property. That's the county would have to take that on then.
Yeah. Does anyone have an interest in changing?
I like the setting the way it is. Yeah.
Well, as long as we're not getting a ton of calls, and like you said, it's not that many. I mean, I'm sure there's people that would like to use the beach that day, so for them, the setting. But if we're not getting hundreds of calls, or
And it could be that you're just used to it now, and they do. Any season pass holders, they get to enter any of the Winnetka beaches for free that day with their pass. and we send all the non-residents, or anybody who doesn't have a pass, we send them that way too. But people come up and they're like, it's in their beach gear. I'm like, well, the beach is closed. So we get people asking every year, but it's kind of, it's really the decision is, do you do fireworks or not? Because really there's no other, in Glencoe that we control or the village controls, a place to shoot out the fire.
Also, it kind of controls the crowd for the day as well, because there's a lot going on in the town, and you would split people off in this way. People come to the community activity, and they go there at night. It's a tradition, and it's like a nice thing. Exactly right. The more we do it this way, the more this becomes the tradition that people remember from their childhood.
Right. So
don't plant one tree in that park.
Actually, there, I remember the first year I was here, and they, as when the barge regulation changed, and it was so far out, someone came up to me, this was awful fireworks. It was exactly the same amount of shells and the same size of shells as the year before, but because it was so far out, so when you have to spend actually a considerable amount more money to get a really good show if you move it onto a barge, too. So I know the village for their, the big anniversary is interested in expanding the show, and we'll be talking to them to celebrate, and that would be at the village's expense to do that. So, to make it longer, we couldn't increase the shells because it's too close.
A bigger
right now.
Finale?
Maybe, but not larger shells, but maybe longer.
Is that of necessity centennial?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. I can't say the words, I just go. I just avoid that word totally. I can't say it. They did a great thing.
Just put your hand up there.
At one of the meetings, they had they taped a whole bunch of people trying to say the word. And I go, oh, God, I don't feel so bad now because I can't say it at all. Everybody messed it up. So I just avoid it. I just say the anniversary.
And,
I just skip over that word. I'm not even going to try it. So, okay. So, unless it, there is also, what would we say, drones? They're doing those drone light shows now. Out west where they were having, you know, major dry spell, they said no fireworks, so they all moved to that.
Really?
And so eventually, I'm sure that'll come down in price. Right now, it's very pricey. But eventually, the drones, like at the Olympic opening, do you remember that? They did a whole, you know, they put about 100
of them. They do Disney characters, they do all sorts of.
Yeah.
There's no loud bang, so
it's a little
different.
You're not blowing anything up.
Sustainable.
It's sustainable, so there you go. Okay, anyway, that's, as Chris already talked about, take a parking, the parking phase one, if you go out there, they have pretty much finished the bioswales. The grass is, you know, come in, okay, we're not thrilled with the quality of the fields, but we'll oversee that this year. Old Elm is looking very good, so you have a chance to go over there. Vernon's looking very well. Woodlawn will start after they're done. And then we're working on the phase two of the parking lot. So, and then the we're painting currently. They've been, you know, I guess a non-issue, right? They don't even...
They're, like, they're very, you know, very easy contractors. You know, there's not like lifts and banging equipment and chisels and, you know, so we've it's been fairly painless so far.
Mm-hmm. And Chris and his team finished the emergency sanitary sewer at the boathouse repairs. So that's all done, and the bathrooms are working and everything like that. So we've already talked about fall program registration. Just right, take up maintenance. So we will be closed a couple days in August. So August 20th to 25th, we'll close the entire building, except for the fitness center, which will only be closed 2 days, and then we'll have that open. For our users, but the rest of the building will be off limits so that we can do some major, you know, the year, our yearly cleaning and painting. And we do it ongoing, but this is a chance that we can do some of the bigger floors and walls and things like that. I'm also heavily working on our distinguished accreditation. So we hope to go for our review in like October so that we get accredited this year. So that's our goal. So, that's been quite a bit of work for everybody involved, but we're looking, we have to see a light at the end of the tunnel, so to say. I think we have an advisory board, lakefront advisory group meeting scheduled for the 24th at 7 p.m. for those of you who are on that. And it, we talked about Steve Gaines already. And I really, that's it. I'm on vacation starting tomorrow. I'll be back next Tuesday. So I'll be available by cell phone, but I have very spotty coverage for email. So
ditto.
I'm also going
tomorrow
morning. Spotty's service.
There you go.
Yeah. Off the grid.
Off the grid.
Bus, yeah.
Just. Yeah. And but we have very competent department.
Like,
what did you say?
It's all on staff.
Well, she's not going to be here anyway, so no one will come.
Jenny already jinxed it. She goes, seems like everything, something always happens when you're gone this, at this vacation.
Yeah.
It's my
great.
And well, I can't get a hold of her.
It's always the same time of year with my family vacation. Everybody goes, the whole family, so it's not a choice. No, this year we're going to Holland, Michigan.
Oh, nice.
And all the nieces and nephews are going, which is hard, you know, as they get older, it's harder. So
it's really
all 13
hard.
Of them, so it's fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Two quick items.
Yes.
I noticed in the brochure there was in the center section, announcement of the closing and some of the work that's going to be done here. And I just want to say that's a really good idea. And we need to reinforce that as much as we can with our clients because... you know, to come here and have things be closed can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm. We sure have a whole plan.
They have a whole marketing plan. Yep.
And
that was just phase one.
We've actually been closing the building this same week for the last, since I've been here, five years.
Building's been 25 years.
Yeah, probably 25 before that even. And it has never been a problem. It seems like everybody goes on vacation this week, and that's why we plan it. But we know a fitness center is a little bit different, so that's why we're only closed 2 days this year. I'm not going to say in the future we won't close longer, but since it's brand new, we don't have to do the extensive moving everything around and things like that. So so we really get the word out. And those first 2 days, we won't even have the registration office open. The whole building, they won't even be here. After that, we will have them in.
Okay,
so.
Great. Maybe you can reuse some of those beach bacteria closing signs.
Yeah.
Closed for high bacteria.
But they do have a marketing plan for that, and it will go all over social media. And
Facebook.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Lisa, I have notice of the Sesame Centennial Committee meeting next Tuesday.
I thought it was Monday. Is it Tuesday?
Next week.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure that we provide them with kind of a shopping list of potential items. I know we've got the...
We
talked earlier about the PAP.
They haven't asked for a gift idea yet.
Yeah.
From us.
Sure you're working on that.
So, well, possibly there's different options in the Green Bay Linear Park. We're going to, once they come with the final design, as you know, we put some items in a la carte. So once that's done, those are the items we'll say, we're redoing this park and here's some donor items that you might be interested in. So. Phil knows that we're doing this process now and that there's some opportunity there. I most likely will not be at that meeting. I'll be coming home that night. So I've already met with the committee, one of the committee chairs, about the ideas for that will contribute for the activities. So that was, I've already spoke to someone about that. So.
Yeah, I just think it's good to remind them we're here. We have a lot of items that could be under control.
Yeah, I think they know.
Both at the beach and along the trail. Great.
All righty. So, is that all?
That's it.
Okay.
You're good, unless you have any questions.
So we'll move on to action items. I don't need to read this, do I?
No, you don't have to. No.
Okay, so I entertain a motion to approve Commissioner's Service Resolution Number 885, Stephen H. Gaines, as presented at the committee meeting.
So
it was read.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Sadly, yes.
Yes, it was sad.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve Resolution Number 86, a resolution for the commitment of $300,000 of the corporate fund balance and $700,000 of the rec fund balance for future capital projects of the Glencoe Park District, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the annual treasurer's report as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve canceling the August regular board meeting.
So
moved. Amen.
Wow, that was so fast.
Discussion? Go ahead, Dudley.
Traditionally, we've done once a year a tour of the parks.
Yeah, we do that at committee meeting. Last year, I think it was a board meeting date, but prior to that, it was committee dates.
Okay.
So I don't know. It depends what's on our agenda. If we'll do it in October or September, but we will do it.
Okay. Do we have a committee meetings the first Tuesday in August?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So we are gonna have a chance to visit the parks in person.
Yes.
Yeah. This fall. Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Didn't hear that? Okay, motion passes. Oh, I like that one. Okay, I entertain a motion to approve and authorize the executive director to sign an agreement for a 36-month contract with IGS Incorporated for at a fixed rate of 0.599 cents per kilowatt hour as presented.
That's what that email
is about. Yes. So moved, okay.
Second.
All right.
Okay, any discussion?
We'll save considerably over the length of this contract. If we use the same amount of energy as we have in the past, comparable, we'll save a considerable amount of money.
Great. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner London?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the updated safety manual as presented.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. On to other business. Is there any other business?
I have no other business.
Okay. Alrighty then, closed session. The board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5, ILCS 120-2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter closed session to discuss a vacancy in public office as mandated by Section 2.06. Shall I read the rest of it?
Mm-hmm.
Parenthetically, 5 ILCS 120-2A3. Those present during executive session include commissioners and Lisa Shepherd.
And that's it.
And that is all.
Thank you.
We'd say all in favor.
Oh, so
moved. I mean,
second. Can someone second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Gorin?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you. Great evening. Thank you.
I entertain a motion to approve Bob Kimball to...
First you have to do the recommend motion to return to open session.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Yes, I entertain a motion
also
to return to open session.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Hold on.
Roll. Second. Any discussion?
Motion. Second. Okay.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes.
Okay.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve Bob Kimball to fill the Glencoe Park District Board Commission vacancy.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.